Tonight we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, The Advent of Lord Krishna. And we'll begin with the introduction. The summary of the first chapter is as follows. This chapter describes how Kamsa, frightened by hearing an omen about his being killed by the eighth son of Devaki, killed Devaki's sons one after another. When Shukadev Goswami finished describing the dynasty of Yadu, as well as the dynasties of the moon god and sun god, Maharaj Parikshit requested him to describe Lord Krishna, who appeared with Baladev in the Yadu dynasty, and how Krishna performed his activities within this world. Krishna is transcendental, the king said, and therefore to understand his activities is the occupation of liberated persons. Hearing of Krishna Lila is the boat by which to achieve the ultimate goal of life. Except for an animal killer or one who is following a policy of suicide, every intelligent person must strive to understand Krishna and his activities. Krishna was the only worshipable deity for the Pandavas. When Maharaj Parikshit was in the womb of his mother, Uttara, Krishna saved him from the attack of the Brahmashastra. Now Maharaj Parikshit asked Shukadev Goswami how his lordship Baladev, the son of Rohini, could have appeared in the womb of Devaki. Why did Krishna transfer himself from Mathura to Vrindavan? King Parikshit asked. And how did he live there with his family members? What did Krishna do in Mathura and Vrindavan? And why did he kill his maternal uncle Kamsa? For how many years did Krishna reside in Dwarka? And how many queens did he have? Maharaj Parikshit asked Shukadev Goswami all these questions. He also requested Shukadev Goswami to describe other activities of Krishna about which he could not inquire. When Shukadev Goswami began to speak about Krishna consciousness, Maharaj Parikshit forgot the fatigue brought about by his fasting. Enthusiastic to describe Krishna, Shukadev Goswami said, "Let the waters of the Ganges, descriptions of the activities of Krishna, like the waters of the Ganges, descriptions of the activities of Krishna, can purify the entire universe. The speaker, the inquirer, and the audience all become purified." Once when the entire world was overburdened by the increasing military power of demons in the form of kings, Mother Earth assumed the shape of a cow and approached Lord Brahma for relief. Sympathetic to Mother Earth's lamentation, Brahma, accompanied by Lord Shiva and other demigods, took the cow-shaped Mother Earth to the shore of the Milk Ocean, where he offered prayers to please Lord Vishnu, who lay there on an island in transcendental ecstasy. Brahma thereafter understood the advice of Mahavishnu, who informed him that he would appear on the surface of the earth to mitigate the burden created by the demons. The demigods, along with their wives, should appear there as associates of Lord Krishna in the family of Yadu to increase the sons and grandsons in the dynasty. By the will of Lord Krishna, Anantadev would appear first as Balaram, and Krishna's potency, Yogamaya, would also appear. Brahma informed Mother Earth about all this, and then he returned to his own abode. After marrying Devaki, Vasudev was returning home with her on a chariot driven by Kamsa, her brother, when an ominous voice addressed Kamsa, warning him that Devaki's eighth son would kill him. Upon hearing this omen, Kamsa was immediately ready to kill Devaki, but Vasudev diplomatically began to instruct him. Vasudev stressed that it would not be good for Kamsa to kill his younger sister, especially at the time of marriage. "Anyone who possesses a material body must die," Vasudev advised him. "Every living entity lives in a body for some time and then transmigrates to another body, but one is unfortunately misled into accepting the body as a soul. If a person, under this mistaken conception, wants to kill another body, he is condemned as hellish." Because Kamsa was not satisfied by Vasudev's instructions, Vasudev devised a plan. He offered to bring Kamsa all of Devaki's children, so that Kamsa could kill them. Why then should Kamsa kill Devaki now? Kamsa was satisfied by this proposal. In due course of time, when Devaki gave birth to a child, Vasudev brought the newborn baby to Kamsa, who upon seeing Vasudev's magnanimity was struck with wonder. When Vasudev gave Kamsa the child, Kamsa, showing some intelligence, said that since he was to be killed by the eighth child, why should he kill the first? Although Vasudev did not trust him, Kamsa requested Vasudev to take the child back. Later, however, after Narada approached Kamsa and disclosed to him that the demigods were appearing in the Yadu Vrishni and Vrishni dynasties and conspiring to kill him, Kamsa decided to kill all the children born in these families, and he also decided that any child born from the womb of Devaki must be killed. Thus he arrested and imprisoned both Devaki and Vasudev and killed six of their sons, one after another. Narada had also informed Kamsa that in his previous birth, Kamsa was Kalanemi, a demon killed by Vishnu. Consequently, Kamsa became a great enemy to all the descendants of the Yadu Vamsha, the Yadu dynasty. He even arrested and imprisoned his own father, Ugrasena, for Kamsa wanted to enjoy the kingdom alone. Krishna has threefold pastimes, the Vraja Lila, Mathura Lila, and Dwarka Lila. As already mentioned, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 90 chapters which describe all these lilas. The first four chapters describe Brahma's prayers for the relief of the earth's burden, and they also describe the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chapters 5 through 39 recount Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. The 40th chapter describes how Krishna enjoyed in the water of the Jamuna and how Akura offered prayers. Chapters 41 through 51, 11 chapters, tell of Krishna's pastimes in Mathura, and chapters 52 through 90, 39 chapters, relate Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka. Chapters 29 through 33 describe Krishna's dancing with the gopis, known as Rasa Lila. Therefore, these five chapters are known as Rasa Panchadhyaya. The 47th chapter of the 10th canto is a description known as the Brahmara Gita. Text 1. Shri Rajuvacha Katito Vangsho Vistaro Bhavata Somasurya Yoho Radnyam Chobhaya Vamshanam Charitam Parimadvutam. King Parikshit said, "My dear Lord, you have elaborately described the dynasties of both the moon god and the sun god with exalted and wonderful characteristics of their kings. At the end of the 9th canto, 24th chapter, Shuk purport, at the end of the 9th chapter, 24th chapter, Shukadeva Goswami summarized the activities of Krishna. He spoke of how Krishna had personally appeared to reduce the burden of the earth, how he had manifested his pastimes as a householder, and how soon after his birth he had transferred himself to the Rajabhumi Lila. Parikshit Maharaj, being naturally a devotee of Krishna, wanted to hear more about Lord Krishna. Therefore, to encourage Shukadeva Goswami to continue speaking about Krishna and give further details, he thanked Shukadeva Goswami for having described the activities of Krishna in brief. Shukadeva Goswami had said, Jato gata pritrigahad vrajam Edi tarto hatvari punj sutta shatani kritorudara utpadyate shupurusha kratabir samije atmanam atmanigamam pratayanjaneshu. Supreme Personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, known as Lila Purushottam, appeared as the son of Vasudev, but immediately left his father's home and went to Vrindavan to expand his loving relationships with his confidential devotees. In Vrindavan, the Lord killed many demons, and afterwards he returned to Dwarka, where, according to Vedic principles, he married many wives who were the best of women, begot through them hundreds of sons, and perform sacrifices for his own worship to establish the principles of householder life. From the Bhagavatam 9.24.66. The Yadus the Yadu dynasty belonged to the family descending from Soma, the moon god. Although the planetary systems are so arranged that the sun comes first before the moon, Parikshit Maharaj gave more respect to the dynasty of the moon god, the Soma Vamsha, because in the Yadava dynasty, descending from the moon, Krishna had appeared. There are two different Kshatriya families of the royal order, one descending from the king of the moon planet and the other descending from the king of the sun. Whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, he generally appears in a Kshatriya family because he comes to establish religious principles and the life of righteousness. According to the Vedic system, the Kshatriya family is the protector of the human race. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as Lord Ramachandra, he appeared in the Surya Vamsha, the family descending from the sun god, and when he appeared as Lord Krishna, he did so in the Yadu dynasty or Yadu Vamsha, whose descent was from the moon god. In the 9th canto, 24th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a long list of the kings of the Yadu Vamsha. All the kings in both the Soma Vamsha and Surya Vamsha were great and powerful, and Maharaj Parikshit praised them very highly. Ragnam Chobhaya Vamshanam Charitam Paramadbhutam. Nonetheless, he wanted to hear more about the Soma Vamsha because that was the dynasty in which Krishna had appeared. The supreme abode of the Personality of Godhead Krishna is described in Brahma Sanghita as the abode of Chintamani. Chintamani prakara sadmasu kalpa vriksha lakshavriteshu surabhir abhipalayantam. The Vrindavan Dham on this earth is a replica of that same abode, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 8.20. In the spiritual sky there is another eternal nature, transcendental to manifested and unmanifested matter. The manifested world can be seen in the form of many stars and planets, such as the sun and moon, but beyond this is the unmanifested, which is imperceptible to those who are embodied. And beyond this unmanifested matter is the spiritual kingdom, which is described in Bhagavad Gita as supreme and eternal. That kingdom is never annihilated, although material nature is subject to repeated creation and annihilation. That spiritual nature remains as it is eternally. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that spiritual nature, the spiritual world, is described as Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, and Vraj Dham. The elaborate description of the above-mentioned shloka from the 9th canto, Jato Gata Pitri Grihad, will be found here in the 10th canto. Text 2. Yatoscha Dharma Shilasya Nitaram Munisatama Tatram Shena Batirnasya Vishnur Viryani Shangshanaha. O best of Munis, you have also described the descendants of Yadu, who are very pious and strictly adherent to religious principles. Now, if you will, kindly describe the wonderful, glorious activities of Lord Vishnu or Krishna, who appeared in that Yadu dynasty with Baladev, his plenary expansion. Purport. The Brahma Samhita 5.1 explains that Krishna is the origin of the Vishnu Tattva. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sakchidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. Yashyaika nishvasitakalamatavalambya jivantilo mivlajajagadandanata Vishnur mahansa ihayasya kalavishesho govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. The Brahmas, the heads of the innumerable universes, live only for the duration of one breath of Mahavishnu. I worship Govinda, the original Lord, of whom Mahavishnu is but a portion of a plenary portion. From Brahma Samhita 5.48. Govinda, Krishna, is the original personality of Godhead, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. Even Lord Mahavishnu, who by his breathing creates many millions upon millions of universes, is Lord Krishna's Kala Vishesha, or plenary portion of a plenary portion. Mahavishnu is a plenary expansion of Sankarsana, who is a plenary expansion of Narayan. Narayan is a plenary expansion of the Chaturvyuha, and the Chaturvyuha are plenary expansions of Baladev. the first manifestation of Krishna. Therefore, when Krishna appeared with Baladev, all the Vishnu tattvas appeared with him. Maharaj Parikshit requested Shukadev Goswami to describe Krishna and his glorious activities. Another meaning may be derived from this verse as follows. Although Shukadev Goswami was the greatest Muni, he could describe Krishna only partially, Angshena, for no one can describe Krishna fully. It is said that Anantadev has thousands of heads, but although he tries to describe Krishna with thousands of tongues, his descriptions are still incomplete. Text 3. Avatirya yadorvangshe bhagavan bhuta bhavanaha kritavan yani vishmatma tani novada vistarat. The Supersoul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, the cause of the cosmic manifestation, appeared in the dynasty of Yadu. Please tell me elaborately about his glorious activities and character from the beginning to the end of his life. Purport. In this verse, the words Kritavan Yani indicate that all the different activities Krishna performed while present on earth are beneficial to human society. If religionists, philosophers, and people in general simply hear the activities of Krishna, they will be liberated. We have described several times that there are two kinds of Krishna Katha, represented by Bhagavad Gita, spoken personally by Krishna about himself, and Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by Shukadev Goswami, about the glories of Krishna. Anyone who becomes even slightly interested in Krishna Katha is liberated. Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Vrajaye, from Bhagavatam 12.3.51. Simply by chanting or repeating Krishna Katha, one is liberated from the contamination of Kali Yuga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised, Jare Dako Tare Kaha Krishna Padesh. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 7.128. This is the mission of Krishna consciousness, to hear about Krishna and thus be liberated from material bondage. I repeat, this is the mission of Krishna consciousness, to hear about Krishna and thus be liberated from material bondage. I repeat, this is the mission of Krishna consciousness, to hear about Krishna and thus be liberated from material bondage. Text number 4. Nivritta tarshe rupagiyamana bhavausha dachchotra manobhiramat kautama shloka gunanuvadat puman virajeta vina pashugnat. Glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the parampara system, that is, it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. Such glorification is relished by those no longer interested in the false temporary glorification of this cosmic manifestation. Descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death. Therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification of the Lord except a butcher or one who is killing his own self? Purport. In India, it is the practice among the general populace to hear about Krishna either from Bhagavad Gita or from Srimad Bhagavatam, in order to gain relief from the disease of repeated birth and death. Although India has now fallen, when there is a message that someone will speak about Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, thousands of people still gather to hear. This verse indicates, however, that such recitation of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam must be done by persons completely freed from material desires, nivritta tarshai. Everyone within this material world, beginning from Brahma down to the insignificant ant, is full of material desires for sense enjoyment, and everyone is busy in sense gratification. But when thus engaged, one cannot fully understand the value of Krishna Katha, either in the form of Bhagavad Gita or in Srimad Bhagavatam. If we hear the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from liberated persons, this hearing will certainly free us from the bondage of material activities. But hearing Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by a professional reciter cannot actually help us achieve liberation. Krishna Katha is very simple. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As he himself explains, Matak Paratanam Nanyat Kinchidasti Dananjaya. O Arjuna, there is no truth superior to me. Bhagavad Gita 7.7. Simply by understanding this fact that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can become a liberated person. But especially in this age, because people are interested in hearing Bhagavad Gita from unscrupulous persons who depart from the simple presentation of Bhagavad Gita and distort it for their own personal satisfaction, they fail to derive the real benefit. There are big scholars, politicians, philosophers, and scientists who speak on Bhagavad Gita in their own polluted way, and people in general hear from them, being uninterested in hearing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from a devotee. A devotee is one who has no other motive for reciting Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam than to serve the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore advised us to hear the glories of the Lord from a realized person. Bhagavat paro tiya bhagavat stane. Unless one is personally a realized soul in the science of Krishna consciousness, a neophyte should not approach him to hear about the Lord, for this is strictly forbidden by Srila Sanatana Goswami, who quotes from the Padma Purana. Avaishnava ukodgiram bhutam harikatamritam shravananaiva kartavyam sharpochishtam yatapayaha. One should avoid hearing from a person not situated in Vaishnava behavior. A Vaishnava is nivritta Krishna, that is, he has no material purpose, for his only purpose is to preach Krishna consciousness. So-called scholars, philosophers, and politicians exploit the importance of Bhagavad Gita by distorting its meaning for their own purposes. Therefore, this verse warns that Krishna Katha should be recited by a person who is Nivritta Trishna. Shukadeva Goswami epitomizes the proper reciter for Srimad Bhagavatam and Parikshit Maharaj, who purposefully left his kingdom and family prior to meeting death, epitomizes the person fit to hear it. A qualified reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam gives the right medicine, bhavaushadhi, for the conditioned souls. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is therefore trying to train qualified preachers to recite Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita throughout the entire world, so that people in general, in all parts of the world, may take advantage of this movement and thus be relieved from the threefold miseries of material existence. The instructions of Bhagavad Gita and the descriptions of Srimad Bhagavatam are so pleasing that almost anyone suffering from the threefold miseries of material existence will desire to hear the glories of the Lord from these books and thus benefit on the path of liberation. Two classes of men, however, will never be interested in hearing the message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Those who are determined to commit suicide and those determined to kill cows and other animals for the satisfaction of their own tongues. Although such persons may make a show of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam at a Bhagavat Saptaha, this is but another creation of the karmis, who cannot derive any benefit from such a performance. The word pashugna is important in this connection. Pashugna means butcher. Persons fond of performing ritualistic ceremonies for elevation to the higher planetary systems must offer sacrifices, yajñas, by killing animals. Lord Buddhadev, therefore, rejected the authority of the Vedas because his mission was to stop animal sacrifices, which are recommended in Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Nindasi yajña vereraha shuti jatam sadaya hridaya darshita pashukatam Keshava Drita Buddha Sharira Jaya Jagadisha Hare. From the Gita Govinda. Even though animal sacrifices are sanctioned in Vedic ceremonies, men who kill animals for such ceremonies are considered butchers. Butchers cannot be interested in Krishna consciousness, for they are already materially allured. Their only interest lies in developing comforts for the temporary body. Bhogaishvarya prasaktanam taya prahita chetasam vyavasayatmika buddhi samadhauna vatiyate. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination of devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. Bhagavad Gita 2:44. Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Manushya Janam Mapaya Radha Krishna Nabhajiya Janiya Shuniya Visha Kainu. Anyone who is not Krishna conscious and who therefore does not engage in the service of the Lord is also Pashugna, for he is willingly drinking poison. Such a person cannot be interested in Krishna Katha because he still has a desire for material sense gratification. He is not Nivritta Trishna, as it is said, Chai Vargikas Te Purusha Vimukha Hari Medasaha. Those interested in Trivarga, that is, in Dharma, Artha, and Kama, are religious for the sake of achieving a material position with which to gain better facilities for sense gratification. Such persons are killing themselves by willingly keeping themselves in the cycle of birth and death. They cannot be interested in Krishna consciousness. For Krishna Katha, topics about Krishna consciousness, there must be a speaker and a hearer, both of whom can be interested in Krishna consciousness if they are no longer interested in material topics. One can actually see how this attitude automatically develops in persons who are Krishna conscious. Although the devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement are quite young men, they no longer read materialistic newspapers, magazines, and so on, for they are no longer interested in such topics, nivritta tarshai. They completely give up the bodily understanding of life for topics concerning Uttama Shloka, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the spiritual master speaks and the disciple hears with attention. Unless both of them are free from material desires, they cannot be interested in topics of Krishna consciousness. The spiritual master and disciple do not need to understand anything more than Krishna, because simply by understanding Krishna and talking about Krishna, one becomes a perfectly learned person. Yasmin vignati sarvameva vignatum pavati. The Lord sits within everyone's heart, and by the grace of the Lord, the devotee receives instructions directly from the Lord himself, who says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matak smritir jnanam apohanam cha. Vedaishta sarver aham eva vedyo vedanta krid veda vedeva chaham. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. Krishna consciousness is so exalted that one who is perfectly situated in Krishna consciousness under the direction of the spiritual master is fully satisfied by reading Krishna Katha, as found in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and similar Vedic literatures. Since merely talking about Krishna is so pleasing, we can simply imagine how pleasing it is to render service to Krishna. When discourses on Krishna Katha take place between a liberated spiritual master and his disciple, others also sometimes take advantage of hearing these topics and also benefit. These topics are the medicine to stop the repetition of birth and death. The cycle of repeated birth and death, by which one takes on different bodies again and again, is called bhava, or bhava rog. If anyone willingly or unwillingly hears Krishna Katha, his bhava rog, the disease of birth and death, will certainly stop. Therefore, Krishna Katha is called bhavaushadha, the remedy to stop the repetition of birth and death. Karmis, or persons attached to material sense enjoyment, generally cannot give up their material desires, but Krishna Katha is such a potent medicine that if one is induced to hear Krishna Kirtan, he will certainly be freed from this disease. I repeat. Therefore, Krishna Katha is called Bhavaushadha, the remedy to stop the repetition of birth and death. Karmis, or persons attached to material sense enjoyment, generally cannot give up their material desires, but Krishna Katha is such a potent medicine that if one is induced to hear Krishna Katha, he will certainly be freed from this disease. A practical example is Dhruva Maharaj, who at the end of his tapasya was fully satisfied. When the Lord wanted to give Dhruva a benediction, Dhruva refused it. Swamin kritartos mi varam na yache. My dear Lord, he said, I am fully satisfied. I do not ask for any benediction from material sense gratification. We actually see that even young boys and girls in the Krishna consciousness movement have given up their long practice of bad habits like illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. Because Krishna consciousness is so potent, that it gives them full satisfaction, they are no longer interested in material sense gratification. Texts 5 through 7. Pita maha me smarame maha janat. Pita maha me smarane maharjanar devar ratad yat tirathais timingali durat yayam kaurava sainya sagaram kritvataram vatsapadam smayat palaha dronyastra viplushtam idam matangam santana bijam kuru pandavanam Jugo pakukshim gata ata chakro matushcha meya sharam gatayaha viryani tasya kila deha bhajam antar bahi purushakala rupahi prayachchato mrityum utamritam cha maya manushyasya vadasa vidvan. Taking the boat of Krishna's lotus feet, my grandfather Arjuna and others crossed the ocean of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, in which such commanders as Bhishma Dev resembled great fish that could very easily have swallowed them. By the mercy of Lord Krishna, my grandfathers crossed this ocean, which is very difficult to cross, as easily as one steps over the hoofprint of a calf. Because my mother surrendered unto Lord Krishna's lotus feet, the Lord, Sudarshan Chakra in hand, entered her womb and saved my body, the body of the last remaining descendant of the Kurus and the Pandavas, which was almost destroyed by the fiery weapon of Ashwatthama. Lord Sri Krishna, appearing within it and outside of all materially embodied living beings by his own potency in the forms of eternal time, that is, as Paramatma and as Virat Rupa, gave liberation to everyone, either as cruel death or as life. Kindly enlighten me by describing his transcendental characteristics. Purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.58, Samashritaye padapalava plavam mahatpadam punya yasho maradehe babam pudirvatsa padam param padam 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 yambipatam natesham. For one who has accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation, and is famous as Murari, or the enemy of the Mura demon, the ocean in the material world is like the water contained in a calf's hoofprint. His goal is Parampadam, or Vaikuntha, the place where there are no material miseries, not the place where there is danger at every step. One who seeks shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna is immediately protected by the Lord. As the Lord promises in Bhagavad Gita, 1866, Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mukshayishami masuchaha. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. By taking shelter of Lord Krishna, one comes under the safest protection. Thus, when the Pandavas took shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, all of them were on the safe side of the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Parikshit Maharaj, therefore, felt obliged to think of Krishna in the last days of his life. This is the ideal result of Krishna consciousness, ante narayana smritihi. If, at the time of death, one can remember Krishna, one's life is successful. Parikshit Maharaj, therefore, because of his many obligations to Krishna, intelligently decided to think of Krishna constantly during the last days of his life. Krishna had saved the Pandavas, Maharaj Parikshit's grandfathers, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and Krishna had saved Maharaj Parikshit himself when he was attacked by the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama. Krishna acted as the friend and worshipable deity of the Pandava family. Moreover, apart from Lord Krishna's personal contact with the Pandavas, Krishna is the supersoul of all living entities, and he gives everyone liberation, even if one is not a pure devotee. Kamsa, for example, was not at all a devotee, yet Krishna, after killing him, gave him salvation. Krishna consciousness is beneficial to everyone, whether one is a pure devotee or a non-devotee. This is the glory of Krishna consciousness. Considering this, who will not take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna? Krishna is described in this verse as Maya Manushya, because he descends exactly like a human being. He is not obliged to come here, like karmis or ordinary living beings. Rather, he appears by his own internal energy, sambhavam yatmamayaya, just to show favor to the fallen souls. Krishna is always situated in his original position as Sakchidananda Vigraha, and anyone who renders service to him is also situated in his original spiritual identity, Swarupena Vyavastitihi. This is the highest perfection of human life. Text 8. Rohinyas taneya prokto Rama sankarshanastvaya Divakya garba sambandha Kuto dehantarambana. My dear Shukadeva Goswami, you have already explained that Sankarsana, who belongs to the second quadruple, appeared as the son of Rohini named Balaram. If Balaram was not transferred from one body to another, how is it possible that he was first in the womb of Devaki and then in the womb of Rohini? Kindly explain this to me. Purport. Here's a question particularly directed at understanding Balaram, who is Sankarsana himself. Balaram is well known as the son of Rohini, yet it is also known that he was the son of Devaki. Brikshit Maharaj wanted to understand the mystery of Balaram's being the son of both Devaki and Rohini. Text 9. Sman Mukundo Bhagavan Pitur Gehad Vajam Gataha Kwa Vasam Gyatibi Sardham Kritavan Satavan Patihi Kritavan Satvatam Patihi. Why did Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, leave the house of his father Vasudev and transfer himself to the house of Nanda in Vrindavan? Where did the Lord, the master of the Yadu dynasty, live with his relatives in Vrindavan? Purport. These are inquiries about the itinerary of Krishna. Just after his birth in the house of Vasudev in Mathura, Krishna transferred himself to Gokula on the other side of the Jamuna. And after some days, he moved with his father, mother, and other relatives to Nandagram, Vrindavan. Maharaj Parikshit was very much eager to hear about Krishna's activities in Vrindavan. This entire canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is full of activities performed in Vrindavan and Dwarka. The first 40 chapters describe Krishna's Vrindavan affairs, and the next 50 describe Krishna's activities in Dwarka. Maharaj Parikshit, to fulfill his desires to hear about Krishna, requested Shukadev Goswami to describe these activities in full detail. 10. Vraje vasan kim akaron madhupuryam chakeshavaha vrataram chavahdit kangsam matur adhatad arhanam. Lord Krishna lived both in Vrindavan and Mathura. What did he do there? Why did he kill Kamsa, his mother's brother? Such killing is not at all sanctioned in the Shastras. Purport. One's maternal uncle, the brother of one's mother, is on the level of one's father. When a maternal uncle has no son, his nephew legally inherits his property. Therefore, why did Krishna directly kill Kamsa, the brother of his mother? Maharaj Parikshit was very much inquisitive about the facts in this regard. Text 11. Deham manusham ashritya kativarshani vrishnibihi yadupuryam sahavasit patnya katyabhavan prabho. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has no material body, yet he appears as a human being. For how many years did he live with the descendants of Rishi? How many wives did he marry? And for how many years did he live in Dwarka? Purport. In many places, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described as Sakchidananda Vigraha, possessing a spiritual blissful body. His bodily feature is Narakriti, that is, exactly like that of a human being. Here, the same idea is repeated in the words manusham ashrita, which indicate that he accepts a body exactly like that of a man. Everywhere it is confirmed that Krishna is never nirakara or formless. He has his form exactly like that of a human being. There's no doubt about this. Text 12. Etat anyachcha sarvam me mune Krishna vicheshtitam vaktum arhas si sarvagya shradhanaya vistritam. O great sage, who know everything about Krishna, please describe in detail all the activities of which I have inquired and also those of which I have not, for I have full faith and I am very eager to hear of them. Text 13. Naishati dusahastrun mam tyaktodam apibhadhate vibhantan tan mukhamboja chutam harikatam ratam. Because of my vow on the verge of death, I have given up even drinking water. Yet because I am drinking the nectar of topics about Krishna, which is flowing from the lotus mouth of your lordship, my hunger and thirst, which are extremely difficult to bear, cannot hinder me. Purport. To prepare to meet death in 7 days, Maharaj Parikshit gave up all food and drink. As a human being, he was certainly both hungry and thirsty, and therefore Shukadev Goswami might have wanted to stop narrating the transcendental topics of Krishna. But despite his fast, Maharaj Parikshit was not at all fatigued. The hunger and thirst from my fast do not disturb me, he said. Once when I felt very thirsty, I went to the ashram of Shamika Muni to drink water, but the Muni did not supply it. I therefore wrapped a dead snake over his shoulder, and that is why I was cursed by the Brahmin boy. Now, however, I am quite fit. I am not at all disturbed by my hunger and thirst. This indicates that although on the material platform there are disturbances from hunger and thirst, on the spiritual platform there is no such thing as fatigue. The entire world is suffering because of spiritual thirst. Every living being is Brahman, or spirit soul, and needs spiritual food to satisfy his hunger and thirst. Unfortunately, however, the world is completely unaware of the nectar of Krishna Katha. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore a boon to philosophers, religionists, and people in general. There is certainly a charming attraction in Krishna and Krishna Katha. Therefore, the absolute truth is called Krishna, the most attractive. The word amrita is also important, an important reference to the moon, and the word ambuja means lotus. The pleasing moonshine and pleasing fragrance of the lotus combined to bring pleasure to everyone hearing Krishna Katha from the mouth of Shukadev Goswami. As is said, Matirna Krishne Padataksvatova Mitopi Padyeta Graha Vratanam Adanta Gopir Vishatam Tamishram Punak Punas Charvita Charvananam. Because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress toward hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations toward Krishna are never aroused, either by the instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by combination of both. Bhagavatam 7:5:30. At the present moment, all of human society is engaged in the business of chewing the chewed. Punak punas charvita charvananam. People are prepared to undergo mrityu sangsaravartmani, taking birth in one form, dying, accepting another form, and dying again. To stop this repetition of birth and death, Krishna Katha, or Krishna consciousness, is absolutely necessary. But unless one hears Krishna Katha from a realized soul like Shukadev Goswami, one cannot relish the nectar of Krishna Katha, which puts an end to all material fatigue, and enjoy the blissful life of transcendental existence. In relation to the Krishna consciousness movement, we actually see that those who have tasted the nectar of Krishna Katha lose all material desires, whereas those who cannot understand Krishna or Krishna Katha regard the Krishna conscious life as brainwashing and mind control. While the devotees enjoy spiritual bliss, the non-devotees are surprised that the devotees have forgotten material hankerings. Text 14. Sutuvacha
evam nishamya bhrigunandana saruvadam vayasaki sa bhagavan ata vishnuratam pratyarcha krishna charitam kalikalmashagnam vyahartum arabhata bhagavata pradhanaha vyahartum arabhata bhagavata pradhanaha vyahartum arabhata bhagavata pradhanaha.
Translation. Sutta Goswami said, O son of Bhrigu, Shaunaka Rishi, after Shukadeva Goswami, the most respectable devotee, the son of Vyasadeva, heard the pious questions of Maharishi Parikshit, he thanked the king with great respect. Then he began to discourse on topics concerning Krishna, which are the remedy for all sufferings in this age of Kali. Purport. In this verse, the words Krishna Charitam Kali Kalma Shagnam indicate that the activities of Lord Krishna are certainly the greatest panacea for all miseries, especially in this age of Kali. It is said that in Kali Yuga, people have only short lives and they have no culture of spiritual consciousness. If anyone is at all interested in spiritual culture, he is misled by many bogus swamis and yogis who do not refer to Krishna Katha. Therefore, most people are unfortunate and disturbed by many calamities. Srila Vyasadeva prepared Srimad Bhagavatam at the request of Narada Muni in order to give relief to the suffering people of this age, Kali Kalma Shagnam. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is seriously engaged in enlightening people through the pleasing topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. All over the world, the message of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is being accepted in all spheres of life, especially in advanced educated circles. Srila Shukadeva Goswami is described in this verse as Bhagavat Pradhanaha, whereas Maharishi Parikshit is described as Vishnu Ratham. Both words bear the same meaning. That is, Maharishi Parikshit was a great devotee of Krishna, and Shukadeva Goswami was also a great saintly person and a great devotee of Krishna. Combined together to present Krishna Katha, they give great relief to suffering humanity. Anarto Pashanam Sakshad, Bhakti Yoga Matoksaje, Lokasya Janato Vidvamsh, Chakri Satvata Sanghitam. The material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth. From Bhagavatam 176. People in general are unaware that the message of Srimad Bhagavatam can give all of human society relief for the pangs of Kali Yuga, Kali Kalma Shagnam. Text 15. Shri Shukuvacha Samyag Vyavasita Buddhis Tavara Jarshi Satama Vasudeva Katayam Te Yajjata Naishtiki Ratihi. Srila Shukadeva Goswami said, O Your Majesty, best of all saintly kings, because you are greatly attracted to topics of Vasudeva, it is certain that your intelligence is firmly fixed in spiritual understanding, which is the only true goal for humanity. But that attraction is unceasing, and it is certainly sublime. Purport. Krishna Katha is compulsory for the Rajarshi, or executive head of government. This is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Imam Rajarshayo Viduhu. Unfortunately, however, in this age, the governmental power is gradually being captured by third-class and fourth-class men who have no spiritual understanding, and society is therefore very quickly becoming degraded. Krishna Katha must be understood by the executive heads of government, for otherwise, how will people be happy and gain relief from the pangs of materialistic life? One who has fixed his mind in Krishna consciousness should be understood to have very sharp intelligence in regard to the value of life. Maharishi Parikshit was a Rajarshi Satama. The best of all saintly kings. And Shukadeva Goswami was Muni Satama, the best of all Munis.
Both of them were elevated because of their common interest in Krishna Katha. The exalted position of the speaker and the audience will be explained very nicely in the next verse. Krishna Katha is so enlivening that Maharaj Parikshit forgot everything material, even his personal comfort in relation to food and drink. This is an example of how the Krishna consciousness movement should spread all over the world to bring both the speaker and the audience to the transcendental platform and back home, back to Godhead. Text 16. Vasudeva katha prashna purusham strin punatihi vaktaram prachakam shrotrims tatpara salilam yata. The Ganges emanating from the toe of Lord Vishnu purifies the three worlds, the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. Similarly, when one asks about the pastimes and characteristics of Lord Vasudeva, Krishna, three varieties of men are purified: the speaker or preacher, he who inquires, and the people in general who listen. Purport. It is said, Tasmat Gurum Prabhadgeta Jignasu Shreya Uttamam. Bhagavatam 11.3.21. Those interested in understanding transcendental subject matters as the goal of life must approach the bona fide spiritual master. Tasmat Gurum Prabhadgeta. One must surrender to such a guru who can give right information about Krishna. Herein, Maharaj Parikshit has surrendered to the right personality, Shukadeva Goswami, for enlightenment in Vasudeva Katha. Vasudeva is the original personality of Godhead who has unlimited spiritual activities. Srimad Bhagavatam is a record of such activities, and Bhagavad Gita is the record of Vasudeva speaking personally. Therefore, since the Krishna consciousness movement is full of Vasudeva Katha, anyone who hears, anyone who joins the movement, and anyone who preaches will be purified. 17. Bhumir dripa dripa yaja daityanika shatayutahai akranta bhuri bharena brahmanam shananam yayau. Once when Mother Earth was overburdened by hundreds of thousands of military phalanxes, various conceited demons dressed like kings, she approached Lord Brahma for relief. Purport. When the world is overburdened by unnecessary military arrangements and when various demoniac kings are the executive heads of state, this burden causes the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4.7, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srajamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of your religion, at that time I appear myself. When the residents of this earth become atheistic and godless, they descend to the status of animals like dogs and hogs, and their only business is to bark among themselves. This is dharmasya glani, deviation from the goal of life. Human life is meant for attaining the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness. But when people are godless and the presidents or kings are unnecessarily puffed up with military power, their business is to fight and increase the military strength of their different states. Nowadays, however, it appears that every state is busy manufacturing atomic weapons to prepare for a third world war. Such preparations are certainly unnecessary. They reflect the false pride of the heads of state. The real business of a chief executive is to see to the happiness of the mass of people by training them in Krishna consciousness in different divisions of life. Chaturvarnya maya shrishtam guna karma vibhagashaha. Bhagavatam 4.13. A leader should train the people as brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras, and engage them in various occupational duties, thus helping them progress toward Krishna consciousness. Instead, however, rogues and thieves in the guise of protectors arrange for a voting system, and in the name of democracy, they come to power. In the name of democracy, they come to power by hook or crook, and exploit the citizens. Even long, long ago, asuras, persons devoid of Krishna, of God consciousness, became the heads of state, and now this is happening again. The various states of the world are preoccupied with arranging for material strength, sometimes military strength, sometimes. They spend 65% of the government's revenue for this purpose. But why should people's hard-earned money be spent in this way? Because of the present world situation, Krishna has descended in the form of the Krishna consciousness movement. This is quite natural, for without Krishna consciousness, without the Krishna consciousness movement, the world cannot be happy, peaceful. But why should people's hard-earned money be spent in this way? Because of the present world situation, Krishna has descended in the form of the Krishna consciousness movement. This is quite natural, for without the Krishna consciousness movement, the world cannot be peaceful and happy. Text 18. Gaur bhut varshu mukhi kinna kradanti karunam viboho utpast itanike tasmai vyasanam samavochata. Mother Earth assumed the form of a cow. Very much distressed, with tears in her eyes, she appeared before Lord Brahma and told him about her misfortune. 19. Brahma tad upaharyata sahadevais tayasaha jagamasa tri nayanas tiram shira payo nidehe. Thereafter, having heard of the distress of Mother Earth, Lord Brahma, with Mother Earth, Lord Shiva, and all the other demigods, approached the shore of the ocean of milk. Purport. After Lord Brahma understood the precarious condition of the earth, he first visited the demigods headed by Lord Indra, who are in charge of the various affairs of this universe, and Lord Shiva, who is responsible for annihilation. Both maintenance and annihilation go on perpetually, under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.8, paritra anaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam. Those who are obedient to the laws of God are protected by different servants and demigods, whereas those who are undesirable are vanquished by Lord Shiva. Lord Brahma first met all the demigods, including Lord Shiva. Then, along with Mother Earth, they went to the shore of the ocean of milk, where Lord Vishnu lies on a white island, Shweta Dweep. Text 20. Tatra gatva jagannatham devadevam vrishakapim purusham purusha suktena upatthaste samahitaha. After reaching the shore of the ocean of milk, the demigods worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the master of the whole universe, the supreme God of all gods, who provides for everyone and diminishes everyone's suffering. With great attention, they worshipped Lord Vishnu, who lies in the ocean of milk, by reciting the Vedic mantras known as the Purusha Sukta. Purport. The demigods such as Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, King Indra, Chandra, and Surya are all subordinate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Aside from the demigods, even in human society, there are many influential personalities supervising various businesses or establishments. Lord Vishnu, however, is the God of gods, Parameshwara. He is the Paramapurusha, the Supreme Being, Paramatma. As confirmed in the Brahma Sanghita 5.1, Ishvara Paramakrishna Saktirananda Vigraha. Krishna, known as Govinda, is the Supreme Controller. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. No one is equal to or greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he is described here by many words, Jagannatha, Deva, Deva, Vrishakapi, and Purusha. The supremacy of Lord Vishnu is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 10.12 in this statement by Arjuna. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan, Purusham Shashvatam Divyam, Haridevam Ajam Bibhum. You are the Supreme Brahman, the ultimate, the supreme abode and purifier, the absolute truth and the eternal divine person. You are the primal God, transcendental and original, and you are the unborn and all-pervading beauty. Krishna's Adipurusha, the original personality of Godhead, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Vishnu is a plenary expansion of Lord Krishna, and all the Vishnu Tattvas are Parameshwar, Deva Deva. Vishnu is a plenary expansion of Lord Krishna, and all the Vishnu Tattvas are Parameshwar, Deva Deva. And thus ends tonight's reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, the advent of Lord Krishna. Introduction. So now, Shraddha Devi Dasi will unmute the phone, and we will hear your what things stuck in your mind that were left an impression, a Krishna conscious impression in your mind, which, by the way, will be your friend at the time when you leave this body, because Krishna says, Ukramantam stitam bhapi bhunjanan bhagunanvitam vimudanana pashanti pashanti kanachakshisa, that those who are Krishna conscious can understand the process of leaving the body. And yang yang vapi smanan bhavam tajat yante kalevaram tam tami vaitikonteya sada tadbhava pavita, whatever one's predominant feeling and thoughts are at the time of death, one will attain that state without fail. So these impressions from hearing tonight that have entered into the ear holes because of the submissive hearing of all everyone in the audience will have an eternal effect. They don't go away. That impression is there forever. Okay. What did you hear?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam, Jai Prabhupada, this is Shraddha Devi Dasi. I just wanted to make a small announcement for the participants. If it's okay, I'll go ahead.
Yes.
So, dear devotees, Hare Krishna, in order to join the Q&A queue, you can press star 6 and you'll be added to the queue, and I'll continue to clear that. And Maharaj, while I'm waiting for others to join the queue, I was very much, you know, what struck my mind was that when one hears Krishna Katha, then all the other so-called material necessities like hunger and thirst go away. And I had particularly felt that when I had come four years ago, I'd come to ISKCON Silicon Valley, and for the first time in, I think, 20 years, I had kept a fast on Gaura Purnima. And the whole day I was there, and there were devotees, and you were there, and you were reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And for the first time, I did not feel hungry at all. So I can vouch for for what you had said. So thank you so much for reading today, and also reading on that day that made me realize this. And I see that there is a question on the question queue, so I'm going to put it on.
Yeah, just I'll say something. That verse is a famous verse. Prabhupada used to quote it about how Maharaj Parikshit wasn't hungry at all. And normally a human being gets hungry and thirsty. But he said, Chutam Harikatamritam, because I'm drinking the nectar, which is Chutam Harikatamritam, it's falling from the mouth of Shukadeva Goswami, therefore I'm not hungry. It's that hunger and thirst is normally satisfied by food and water, but it's replaced with something much better. Okay, go ahead. Who's next?
Hi, Krishna Vaisheshika Prabhu. Please accept my humble obeisances. I'll go to Shripalpad. This is Poonam and Guru. How are you?
Oh, Poonam and Guru. Good. How are you? Nice to hear your voice. Thanks for joining.
Thank you for reading tonight. It was very beautiful.
Die. What did you hear?
And it was just wonderful to have your association at Rasa Yatra, but that begs the next question, when do we get your personal association?
We'll have to look into that very carefully.
About the reading, I liked the part about the demons taxing the citizens, and how Srila Prabhupada says that the Krishna conscious movement was sent for that. One of the reasons. I really appreciated that.
Yeah, you're a professional. You can also appreciate how the government taxes the citizens too, right?
Yeah.
You notice. Yeah, very interesting. Prabhupada said in that section that the government sometimes spends 65% of their budget and the hard-earned money of the citizens in order to buy bombs. Today we were listening to Sadaputta Prabhu, who was one of Prabhupada's disciples. Unfortunately, he passed away a few years ago. But he was a very intelligent devotee, highly educated in
mathematics and physics and so forth, and he was part of the Bhaktivedanta Institute. And he was talking about the interest in science that people have around the world, and that the government generally funds those branches of science that deal with any kind of technology that will make more bombs. Generally, not so much interested. There's a disproportionate investment by most governments in the kind the branches of science that go into figuring out the structure of the universe and so forth. But when it comes to research that will make better and more powerful weapons, then they really pour in the cash, which is an extension, Prabhupada often comments, of the defending propensity of animals, basically. And so, interesting comment, Guru. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Haribo.
Haribo.
Who's next, Shraddha?
Dandavat Pranam, Prabhu. Please accept my humble obeisances. This is
Gandharvika. Hi, Gandharvika. No call is complete without your questions.
Oh, thank you, Prabhu.
Or comments.
So I read for a few minutes in the morning, like maybe around 10, 15 minutes before I went. But then when I came back from work, I was just thinking, I read Bhagavatam in the morning, but still I was so anxious and the mind is not so satisfied. And then I got the text message from Shraddha Mataji and I felt so happy. But when you read the sentence, Bhava Ushadi, where reading Srimad Bhagavatam is the only solution to come out, only medicine to come out of the cycle of birth and death. You read it three times. I really felt like now there is a clear direction on how we should design our life or take our decisions. So I just really felt that the whole session was like so enlivening and encouraging to me to take the right decisions all the time. Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Yeah, thank you very much, Gandharvika. Your enthusiasm for hearing is palpable and it's infectious. And this is the definition of ruchi. Prabhupada talked to an audience of devotees and he said that I say practically the same thing in many of my classes, but all of you come back and listen with such attention. He said, this is ruchi. And it's mentioned here in the Bhagavatam that the topics become fresher and fresher. Each time one hears them, they're deeper and deeper. And even those topics, Rabindra Sarup Prabhu was pointing out in Chicago the other day, that are seemingly fundamental or basic, become more and more interesting to somebody who has taste. In other words, it's not that somebody who's getting taste for hearing Krishna Katha becomes bored with hearing Dehino Smityata Dehe, that you're not your body. As a matter of fact, one who's realizing that fact becomes fascinated more and more by these shlokas and every single part of them, every word in them, and how they're placed. And as a matter of fact, all the shlokas are completely perfect because they're spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His pure devotees, and they have this indelible effect. So thank you very much for sharing your enthusiasm, Gandharvika. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Whatever we have is simply because of your causeless mercy. Prabhu, one question that I had was, sometimes people ask, if you say that Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam are so purifying, what's wrong? I mean, why should the purification that happens within us by hearing those literatures be dependent on the speaker? Because suppose if there are so many like singers, professional singers, recite the verses and all that, but why is it so much stressed on the speaker?
Well, one thing is mentioned in the prayers personified Vedas in the 87th chapter. I believe, 87th chapter of the 10th canto, there's a discussion about how it's possible for one to use a material facility, meaning the ear and the tongue, and the vibration that comes through the airways is actually normally considered to be a material vibration. And how is it that that becomes spiritualized? Or how is it that it's spiritual? Or how is it that the knowledge of the spiritual world, the form of the spiritual world, and so forth, is transmitted in that material medium? And interestingly, in the beginning of that chapter, Prabhupada says, this question and the answer is a referendum on whether God is personal or impersonal. And he gives that answer because he says that because Krishna is a person, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as we heard several times in this reading tonight, he's the Ishvara Parama Krishna. He's the supreme controller of everyone and everything and all energies and so forth, that he can transform material energy into spiritual energy. And as we hear in the second chapter of the first canto, Srinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Srityantaksto Hibhadrani Vidunoti Suhritsatam, because Krishna is the Paramatma, Supersoul in everyone's heart, when someone submissively hears the message of the Bhagavatam, it's Krishna who's in the heart, who helps the devotee to purify his heart. And when somebody is not a devotee and is averse to Krishna, meaning that one considers that God is formless, or actually is speaking Krishna Katha for some profit and not actually out of devotion for Krishna, then the vibration becomes is not transformed. In other words, it doesn't please Krishna because the intention is not there. The devotion is not there. It doesn't attract Krishna. It doesn't motivate him to help in the process. In the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj Prithu says that when pure devotees speak, the sound vibration that emanates from their mouth touches the lotus feet of Krishna. It dislodges the saffron mercy particles that are there. And therefore, when the sound enters the ears of the audience, it's actually sound mixed with these saffron mercy particles. It's put in poetical terms in that context, but the meaning is that actually because the vibration is pleasing to Krishna because the heart of the devotee is sincere who's speaking it, then it becomes transformed into something that is transcendental. Otherwise, it's not, because Krishna is in charge of all energies and it doesn't transform, and it's material. Similarly, with chanting the holy name in the Harinam Chintamani, Haridas Thakur points out that those who are Mayavad, in other words, they're chanting the holy name of Krishna, but they're thinking there is no Krishna, there is no God. They want to kill God by saying that he's impersonal, and that we're going to merge into God, that their vibration is also not effective. So it's a matter of, it comes down to the point of the supreme controller, who's the controller of all energies. And when he's pleased by the sincere heart of the speaker and the listener, then he transforms the energy and it becomes altogether potent.
Thank you very much, Prabhu, because this is kind of a paradigm shift and helps us to create a filter, like what to hear and what not to hear, because sometimes we also hear like some seminars or become very addicted to that. But now what you said, like hearing from a pure devotee motivates Krishna to help us, really gives me lots of encouragement to hear from devotees.
Mentioned in the second verse of the Bhagavatam that Krishna becomes captured within the heart. He, as Prabhupada used to say, he becomes compact within the heart. Means by hearing, those who are engaged in the authorized process of hearing, that is, the speaker is a pure devotee, the hearer is a pure devotee, then Krishna himself wants to hear what's going on because it's the language of love. That's what Krishna is interested in. And therefore, he becomes captivated by the sound vibration. I mean, think of it in practical terms. if someone is very interested in you and is reading something that you've written or spoken, and they actually have appreciation for you, then it's very interesting, and you want to be a part of that. You'll want to hear it also. And the emotion behind it makes a big difference. Whereas if somebody is not interested in you and is doesn't even give you credit for it, for having written it or whatever, then there's a different quality to the presentation altogether.
Yes,
thank
Prabhu,
you for the nice
very much.
Question, Gandharvika. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you very much.
Hare Hare.
Yeah, I'm Langi Mataji coming up.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Yeah, I kind of, agree with Gandharvika Mataji, what she said, because when I read myself, I miss so much. But, you know, when you are reading it, so many things are much more clear. And I had a comment. I found one of the statements very encouraging, that Krishna has descended in the form of this Krishna consciousness movement. So, you know, just by being a part of it, we are like associating with Krishna so regularly. So that made me happy.
Yeah, that's a really nice point. And the word movement means that we have service to do. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent his devotees out everywhere, going here and there. As Goshtiya Nandis, the idea is that we're meant to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. We take so many pains to make sure that it gets spread. And just being part of that energy, I'm just writing about this in this book about Sankirtan, by participating in the spread of Krishna consciousness, one becomes transcendentalized and purified. And Prabhupada even writes that even if one's a manager counting money that's being used to maintain the temple and to buy books and so forth, he said this is also a product of the internal energy. It's not that just sitting down to hear and chant is the internal energy and is spiritual, but also participating in sweeping the floors and maintaining the building that is the base for the Sankirtan movement and so forth. All of these things are transcendental, which is very fortunate, because we have the tendency to move about, to socialize and do all these things, and all that is accommodated within the Sankirtan movement. Nice point, Shyamalangi.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna, Dandavad, Vaisheshika Prabhu, please accept my humble obeisance at such a lotus feet. Glorious Prabhupada. This is Lal Gopal Das from St. Louis.
Jai Lal Gopal. Hare Krishna. Thanks for calling in from St. Louis.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. It was so enlivening. I was just checking my emails late in this evening, and I heard that there's been a conference call by you reading Srimad Bhagavatam. We just rushed back home to hear from your lotus mouth. It was very, very nice. I'm just thinking of expressing or sending an email to you for giving me a guidance last year when we met in New Vrindavan to get registered to Chad and read Bhagavad Gita every day. Since then, without fail, we've been reading Bhagavad Gita chapter every day as per the emails that we have been receiving. That's been very, very nice. I can't express how it is. And also we started reading Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita 10 pages every day. Thank you so much. I think this call is something I can express myself as a gratitude to you for opening the door and giving an opportunity for me to practically apply to read Srila Prabhupada's books. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Jai Lal Gopal, that's wonderful. So glad to have you as a card-carrying member of CHAD, and this program you have to read 10 pages a day will have an eternal and very powerful effect. We're going to be 5 years older in 5 years anyway, and if you add 10 pages a day or any number of pages a day, then you'll actually become elevated in Krishna consciousness, because by associating with Prabhupada through his books, One gets the association of a pure devotee, hears perfect Krishna katha, Krishna becomes pleased, and he brings the devotee to the higher stages of devotional service. So keep up the great work. And please give my best to all the devotees in St. Louis.
Oh, thank you so much.
Hey, Adibo.
Hare Krishna Gurudev, Dhanavat Pranam, Jayashila Prabhupada. This is Nikhil.
Jai Nikhil, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. It's like so amazing to hear all of you and get all your association. I'm glad I stayed up a little late. And as I was listening to verse 9, you know, where Maharaj Parikshit asks Sukhdev Goswami about why, you know, Vasudev transferred him to the house of Nanda, I had a realization, Gurudev, and I'd like to share with you. So what I was thinking was, you know, Vasudev, he was in the jail. You know, he had nowhere to go. And after Krishna was born, you know, he had that firm faith. And as soon as he picked up Krishna with determination, all his shackles, you know, opened up, the guards left, everything opened, and, you know, he was able to take him. And in the same way, if, you know, with determination and faith, you know, there are so many challenges every day, but with faith and determination, if, you know, we pick up our bead bags and chant, you know, Krishna himself will help us. So that was what I got, and it was like really powerful. It was like my aha moment for today. So very thank nice. You so much, Gurudev.
Yeah, very, very nice realization. We were, Prabhupada quotes frequently from 1866 in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, just surrender to me, I'll deliver you from all sinful reaction, do not fear. And as our faith grows, we take more and more shelter of Krishna. And there's a tendency to go to sleep in the material world and to become lulled by the so-called opportunities that Maya offers us. But those who become aware of the fact that we're in a precarious situation in this material world at every moment, and that we're actually imprisoned by these three modes of material nature, become eager for opportunities to take more and more shelter of Krishna, and therefore Queen Kunti prays, padam padam yadvi padam natesham. Let there be more and more calamities in my life. Vipadam means let the missteps come, let the dangers come, because at those times, when those dangers appear to me, I take exclusive shelter of Krishna, deep shelter of Krishna. Otherwise, it's very easy to think that I'm okay, everything's going to be all right if I just have enough money or some kind of situation, everything will be all right. So, nice point. If we just take that shelter, take Krishna's advice to surrender to him, then everything opens and Krishna guides us. I was reading the other day about how people take shelter of so many things in this world, but Gopal is the one who gives shelter and provides for those who don't have any other shelter in this world. If we exclusively take shelter of him, then he exclusively takes care of us. And that he says in the Bhagavad Gita, Nanyas chintayanto mam yejana pariupasate, tesham nityabhyuktanam yogakshemam mahamyaham. To those whose consciousness is ananya, it's just focused on me, nothing else, then I carry what they lack, I preserve what they have, and he does it personally. He takes a very personal interest in the person who exclusively devotes his consciousness to Krishna, has no other shelter in the world. Thanks for bringing this up, Nikhil, really nice. And thanks for staying up till midnight just to hear Krishna katha. Nikhil's on the East Coast. Hari Bol.
Thank you for the beautiful class, Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Okay, please, best to Shilpa. Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol.
We have next Prabhash Prabhu from Chicago.
Prabhash, Hare Bol.
Hare Bol, Guru Maharaj, Dandavat pranam, all glories to Prabhupada. I would like to start my comment with apologizing that I had said that I will attend the Rath Yatra, but I came back to Sacramento late Saturday night. And by the time I could go to bed, it was like 3 in the morning. And it was just not practical to me to come there to Rath Yatra because my fridge was empty, apartments was dirty. So I kind of budged to the temptation of, you know, cleaning the apartment and buying food for the week and all that. So I apologize, but I felt really bad because you had, you know, when I expressed my eagerness to come there and you had said, you know, yes, my service could be used, but I apologize for that. And what I wanted to point out from this beautiful, wonderful class you gave is that it is generally, I hear that the sun is closer to us than the moon, right? But I think that is a significance. Distance-wise, it is not. It is a significance, I guess. Your sun is more, the effect of sun to us is more or more useful to us. Is it that, right? Distance.
So what's
is not.
What? I'm not understanding your point, Prabhash. Is it a point or a question?
It is a question that
okay.
I think I heard that the sun is closer to us rather than the moon, or sun or moon is farther to us rather than sun. I think I heard that.
Yes,
Guru Maharaj. So
yes.
I think that is a symbolic representation that the effect sun and moon has on us, it represents that, right? It does not represent the distance, correct?
Not necessarily. There are poetical ways that we can understand the significance or the importance of the sun and the moon, but there are also ways of measuring the sun and the moon, but there are dimensions in this universe that we are unaware of. And the way we measure things is not necessarily representative of the physical distance between one body in this universe and another. And there are devotees who are dedicated to studying this kind of science, you know, the distance between one heavenly body and another. Okay. I'm not one of them. It's not particularly important. Practically, the chapter in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in which Shukadeva Goswami explains the material nature and the distance between various planets and so forth, to Parikshit Maharaj, is prefaced by the statement that is Shukadeva Goswami says that material nature is inconceivable. What to speak of the spiritual nature? It's so vast and practically very difficult to understand, but he says, I'll just give you a sample of what it's like of this material nature.
Right.
You want to say something? Keshav Bharti Maharaj wants to comment on that.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
So, Sariputta, who wrote the book on the Vedic cosmology, he explains this apparent contradiction in a very interesting way. Because if you look vertically, the moon comes before the sun, I mean after the sun. But if you look horizontally to where the sun is at the edge of the universe, traveling around the universe, then the sun is farther away physically.
Okay.
The sun comes first in hierarchy vertically away from the earth. But when you look at the physical distance, the sun is way far away, going around the outside of the universe and look a mountain. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So even though it will say that the moon is higher than the sun, it's measured vertically from the earth.
Vertically.
But when you measure the total distance, the sun is very far away, and it's actually Sariputta has calculated that the distance is very close to 93 million miles. It's very close. The Vedic description and the astronomer's description.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu, so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhash. Hare Krishna. Great to hear your voice.
Hello. Hare Krishna. I'm Narendra Bansal speaking from home.
Hare Bol, Narendra.
I've got very simple question. People have asked you very complicated. What is the difference between transcendental world and the love of Krishna? Are they exactly the same thing, or there is any short distance?
If I understood you correctly, you're asking what is the difference between love of Krishna and the transcendental world?
Yes.
Well, in one way, there's no difference because when there's love for Krishna within the heart of the devotee is touched by the spiritual world. This is explained by Lord Chaitanya when he speaks to Sanatana Goswami, and he says that the devotee is like a gardener, and he, once the seed of bhakti is placed within his heart, he waters that seed by hearing and chanting about Krishna, and the seed sprouts and it grows through the coverings of the material nature, through the material coverings of the material universe, that is, up through the Viraja River, which is the demarcation between the material and spiritual world. It enters the spiritual sky. It goes to the planet Goloka. It entwines itself. It entwines itself around the lotus feet of Krishna, and at that time, the devotee who's in love with Krishna, although living in the material world, actually has dual citizenship and lives in the spiritual world at the same time. There's evidence of this. The beginning of the third canto of the Bhagavatam, when Vidura begins questioning Uddhava, and Uddhava has to orient himself back to the material world because he's actually living in the spiritual world while he's living, breathing, and walking in the material world at the same time. But there is a spiritual world, and there is a material world, and Krishna explains those two things when he talks in the Bhagavad Gita about the elements of the material world, bhumir apu anulo vayu, kam mano pudir evacha, hankara itya me binna prakritirashtada, that there's earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. And these are his binna prakriti, or separated material energies. And then he says that there's, in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, parastasmatu bhavonyo vyakto vyaktat sanatanaha, yaksar sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu navinashati. There is a transcendental nature which is beyond this changeable nature of the material world, and it's spiritual world. So not to mistake that if I'm in, if I have love for God, that means that there's no material world, because there is a difference between the two. It's just that it doesn't affect the devotee. The devotee lives in the material world but isn't affected by it in the same way that other people are, because he's connected to Krishna. Is that okay?
So, this, it means what you are saying is wherever the love for Krishna exists, that is called spiritualization.
You could say that, yes. Yeah, as a matter of fact, when Lord Chaitanya had first taken sannyas, He was eager to go to Vrindavan, but Lord Nityananda tricked him, and he gave the wrong direction so that Lord Chaitanya headed back down the Ganges towards Advaitacharya's house. And Lord Chaitanya was in such ecstasy, he thought he was in Vrindavan. And he thought that the Ganges was the Jamuna, so he started taking bath there. And then Advaitacharya arrived on a boat, and Lord Chaitanya said, "What are you doing here in Vrindavan?" Chaitanya Mahaprabhu realized that actually he had been tricked by Nityananda Prabhu and sent in a different direction. But Advaitacharya said to Lord Chaitanya, he said, "Wherever you are, that is Vrindavan." And wherever the pure devotee goes, Bhavadvita Bhagavatas Tirta Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirta Kurvanti Tirtani Swantakstena Gadaprita, Yudhishthira said to Vidura that wherever you go, you carry the personality of God in your heart, and therefore you purify even the places of pilgrimage. Even the spiritual places get purified by the pure devotee. Okay, Narendra?
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Premanande Haribo. We're counting down Janmashtami. All of us are eagerly chanting extra rounds. All the devotees hearing the more verses from the Bhagavad Gita, reading the Bhagavatam. We're counting those minutes until Krishna appears at midnight next Wednesday. Is there anybody else in line, Shraddha?
Yes, Guru Maharaj, there is Mukharvinda on the line, and actually he's trying out a new technology of trying to dial from the computer into this call so that people from other countries can easily join these calls. So I'm going to unmute him now and hope the technology...
Let's take everyone's... Go ahead, Mukharvinda.
Thank you so much for bringing this beautiful description from Srimad Bhagavatam.
Hare Krishna. Try again, let's hear.
Like the topics, they give the sense of different verses from
technology. Mukharavin, the technology is not working.
Sorry. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Okay, go ahead, Mukharavind. Hare Krishna.
Sorry, Maharaj, I took time. One verse was that which Prabhupada quoted, Matirna Krishna Parato Svatova. So, in which he tells like the person who are attached to the materialistic way of life, they can't understand their inclination toward Krishna can never arouse by others, neither by their own effort, neither combination of both, then how they can, what is the hope for them? I was a little confused and I could not understand how they can get the love for Krishna if directly it says there is no hope for them.
Well, that means that when somebody's determined to stay in the material world, that Prabhupada used to say that you can wake a sleeping man, but it's impossible to wake somebody who's pretending to sleep. Very difficult. So those who are determined to stay in the material world tend to put a wall around their heart and not let in the spiritual vibration. However, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process is so powerful that by the spread of the Sankirtan movement, we see that even people who are trying to avoid it become swept away. In fact, there's a description of the Sankirtan movement being like a flood, and it comes in so strong, just like we've seen some of the pictures from up in northern India when the dams broke and the rains came so strongly that everything was just washed away. And that's how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spreads his movement. People get washed away by it, and even those who are trying to avoid it become caught up in it.
And Maharaj, I was also going to add that the way you were talking about walls around, building walls around the heart, and I was thinking that the way to the heart is through the stomach, and prasadam does the trick.
Yeah, that tends to help.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj. Yeah.
Thank you, and thanks for trying your new technology. Keep trying. Everyone, very much. Nobody else in line, Shraddha?
No, Maharaj, that was the last question.
Thank you, everyone, for joining the call tonight. And it's been a transcendental experience being with everyone to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam and Prabhupada's transcendental purports. And go on hearing and chanting. Keep the vibration of the holy name going. Can everyone please say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Kalpaturubhasya kripasinnavevacha patitanavanevo vaishnavo namo namah gopremanande. All glories to the devotees.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for reading.
I love